Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Bestline Racing has a complete lineup of performance additives for your engine's needs. From our oil additives to our fuel treatments, we have you covered for your hobby, tow rig, race car, or your daily driver. Check the show notes for your Snail Trail 4x4 discount at bestlineracing.com.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome it is to glue metal to Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs, my name is Tyler. I am with you guys here today in spirit, not necessarily physically. No, way, other way around. Physically, maybe not in spirit. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
I don't know where you're going with this.
I don't know why you still let me do the intro here. But joining me today in the studio is Mr. James Hydrojet. Mr. Hydrojet, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Tyler. Thanks for asking. You know, I was listening to one of our previous episodes, and I realized that
you listen to our episodes?
I do, yeah.
Maybe sometimes. That's one of my problems.
Sometimes. I listen to get us the listen.
Gotcha. You can just get the download.
Yeah. But I know that we hinted at, we were going to talk about what Austin has found about your 22RE, but we never got to that point.
Oh.
Do you want to give us a quick little breakdown of what he found?
Yeah. So, of course, we talked about he came up and got the engine right and took it back down. And he said that he pulled the valve cover off. And he pulled the rockers off, the lifters.
Yeah.
As soon as he did it, one of the springs was stuck. One of the valves was stuck up at the top of the spring.
Okay.
So it was, as soon as he pulled it off, it unstuck itself.
Oh, wow.
And that was all it was. So I had one of the exhaust valves, I believe it was, on cylinder 3 was just jammed wide open.
That makes sense.
So why it was zero compression.
Zero compression, losing it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. It's not too terribly difficult of a fix.
No, not at all. It would have been a 10-minute fix, maybe.
Yeah.
just to unstick it, I guess. But then after I figured out it was stuck, I would pull everything and clean it. And
you probably would want to do a whole head job.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Never mind. I'm not going to go there.
So welcome to a Monday episode, everybody. This is episode 176, brought to you by our fine friends over at Bestline Racing and Patreon.
Heck yeah.
We just did the giveaway, which we showed on the Snail Trail Instagram on Thursday, but we'll announce the winner here right now because it's new to us.
Yeah.
for the gear wrench giveaway, because we just actually did that one.
Mm-hmm.
Who was our winner?
Our winner was one of the OGs.
Yeah.
One of the OG Patreons, Mr. James Standley. Mr. Nerd Going Outside.
Nerd Going Outside. Congratulations, James. I'll get in contact with you and figure out a correct shipping address, even though we have it. I just want to confirm that it's correct, and I'll ship everything out.
You don't want to ship $300 in tools to somebody that...
Some random Joe? No.
Some randos?
Randos. No, I do not. Nope.
Good. But I'm sure James appreciates that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So this month, what are we giving away this month?
This month is a Morflate Stubby, which is pretty cool. It's a modular system. So you can buy the manifold. It's got quick connects on it, all color matched for the most part, and it looks great, functions great, and it makes coiling up your hoses and kind of dealing with the hoses a hell of a lot easier. As I know, that's one of the main complaints with Morflates is that the hoses are a nightmare to roll up and down, as any air hose is.
Sure.
So, having those now detachable from the manifold is going to be a world of difference. And the cool thing is, with it being modular, you'll be able to order just one manifold and then order hoses kind of a la carte based on your needs.
Right.
So if you need only a two tire system, or you need an extra long system for your tow rig or something, you'll be able to save a little bit of money and not have to buy multiple systems. You just kind of buy multiple hoses and keep one manifold for everything.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. I'm excited to actually see one in person.
There's one right behind you.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, it's in the bag.
Oh, jeez. I have yet to see one in person, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it should be pretty cool. Currently, we're still about 2 weeks out on processing and shipping orders, and that's because we still don't have the warehouse set up. It's an interesting logistical nightmare to continue getting orders out the door while trying to set up a warehouse at the same time.
Right. I believe that.
It's, I'm just like, interesting. Okay. I thought this would go easier than it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once that's all set up though, we should be good to go and be able to get fully caught up on orders. No problem whatsoever. So
excellent.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we got?
Well, we're going to Cruise Moab and we'll be there the Wednesday that everybody's for registration. So if you're headed out that way, look for us and come say hi.
Well, hey, we'll be hanging out kind of near the registration area the whole day, Wednesday pretty much. So look for us, look for Kermit, look for Bobcat. We'll be hanging around. Cruise Moab. I went snow wheeling this weekend.
Yeah.
Did you go?
Yes, I did.
Nice. We'll talk a little bit about that on Thursday's episode here and the shenanigans from that trip. Let's see. We've got a couple of fun things coming up, though. Tyler's month is coming up, which means the gift box tier is opening.
Yes, exactly. For everybody. For the patrons, if you sign up on that $20 tier. Gift boxes are going out and the gift box tier is opening up.
And if you have not gotten in contact with us yet about your hand size, let us know.
Yes.
We need to know your hand size. So I'm not going to, do you want to go into any further detail about that?
Right. Okay. That's perfect.
Okay. Fair. So yeah, we got all that. Let's see. I think that about does it.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Updates.
We're trying to get to that 500 review mark.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
So let's, if you haven't left us a review yet, please go over onto the iTunes and leave us a review. That's the ones we're doing. And once we get to 500 reviews, we're going to give away a winch to everybody that has left us a review.
Absolutely. So that'll be, you know, you have a 1 in 500 odds. Or if you're Florida Frank, you now have 2 in 500 odds. There's a nice little review here from, it says, another XKS. So I'm not sure what that is. XK, is that a Montero?
I don't know.
Is that a model?
I'm not sure what model that is, but I know it's a vehicle.
It's a vehicle. So another XKS from Lisa K71. And says, great show. Really enjoy the banter between the hosts. My brother, Florida Frank, says hello.
He is, yeah. So they must be up to, he must be up to 2 reviews.
Up to 2. So he's got a 1 in 250 shot now in one of them winning a winch.
So Beer Andy just got back to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he said that an XKS is a type of Jaguar.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I thought that was an XJS. I guess XKS. That would make sense. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know who else drives a Jaguar.
I don't know either.
All right. I do know you can use a Jaguar XJS alternator for Toyota applications on a 22RE. So, and probably the other engines too, 3.0 and 3.4. So
he also said that there is an XKS RC car.
I hope they're not driving an RC car around.
Well, maybe they are.
Maybe, I don't know. So let's see. We got the review. So that was the one from Lisa K71.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Frank. And Frank's sister, I'm assuming, Lisa. Another one is from Red Rocket Hot Pocket.
I like it.
Right?
Hold on, I got one for you.
All systems go.
The Red Rocket Hot Pocket. So he says, the best. I love the info and sense of humor I get from these two. Something I can listen to while working the counter at Napa. I've learned so much from you guys. I can't wait till I have my taco ready for the summertime.
Whoop, whoop.
And also let us know if Napa's looking to sponsor any podcasts.
Yeah. For real. Just give me a discount.
Throw that out there.
Things for the shop.
Yeah. I did have a couple of verbal feedback about Best Line Racing, I thought was pretty cool. One was actually an email that we got a couple days ago, and he said that he wished we had a video. If only we had a video that showed the awesomeness of Best Line Racing.
I don't think I got that email.
You didn't get that email?
I don't know. Oh. I would have said that there is a video.
I responded and said, ask and you shall receive. Here you go, buddy.
Yeah.
So he said that he ended up buying a bunch of Best Line recently, put it in his rig, and he said that he noticed a difference immediately.
Yeah, I did with Clifford. Clifford runs so much smoother, quieter. It's quite amazing. It was not a struggle to drive down the freeway by any means, but it was just loud. And now when Clifford's cruising down the freeway, it's just like at 70 miles an hour, it's purring. It's just nice and quiet and smooth.
Nice.
I think I hear the tires over the engine more.
Nice. Then I had another, actually a Morphlite customer who ordered up a Morphlite and had a couple of questions about his order. So I was talking with him. He goes, oh, by the way, love the podcast. I was like, oh, cool. Thanks, man. He goes, just FYI, I got some of the Best Line Racing recently because of you guys and how much you talk about it. He goes, I was really skeptical, but after running it in my rig, I can tell I'm getting better gas mileage and my butt dyno says that I definitely have a little bit more power. I was like, oh, that's really cool. So there you go. There's some more anecdotal evidence and reviews
from your peers. I want to figure out a way and maybe just need a clear box or something, but I want to see if it makes it stickier. So if you flip your rig upside down for any reason, if it stays on the roof longer, and I would need to figure out how to figure that out or measure that in any way. But I think that because it's more the lubrosity is higher, that it's would stick and stay a little longer is I'm guessing here.
That would be my guess. I was watching that video over again that we did with Best Line and the roller bearings.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it and I was like, a good way to test that would just be to put some Best Line Racing on that spindle that was rotating.
Yeah.
And let it spin for a while or sit there overnight or something, and then run the test the next day or after a little bit of while of it sitting there without being dipped in the additive at all. And I wonder if that would give the same kind of effect as you being rolled over and all your oil is up in the top of your engine block rather than, around the cylinders.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was trying to think of a way to.
Yeah, that's one of the that's one of the things that I would not that I ever plan on really rolling a rig, but there are people out there that have buggies and tip them on their side or lean them way over more than I do on my vehicle, and the engine slosh or the oil is sloshing to one side, and I think having something that's a little bit stickier or a little bit more has a higher lubrosity to it would be good to have inside your engine.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. Yeah,
I just want to find a way to on video to show that.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if that'd be a really good thing for the We Rock buggies.
Yeah, it might be.
So I know those guys take tumbles. So anyways, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Monday's episode here. So this is gonna be a fun one. We talked a little bit about this topic I was going to say fairly recently, not too long ago. And I think it's an interesting one because there are a few different styles and options out there. And we've gotten a few pieces of feedback now since I've been talking about the Premier Welder of people asking, what's the benefit to a Premier over X? Or what's the benefit to a Ready Welder over this or that?
Sure.
So we're going to do a topic here about that. Cool.
Cool.
All right. So let's take a quick break. Go ahead and grab your drinks. James Stanley, come get your tools. And we'll be right on back with today's episode. Welcome back, ladies and gentle ladies and everybody else out there. And especially to the sibling of Florida Frank. Hi, how are you?
Lisa.
Lisa K with the XKS. I want to know who else drives an XKS now. Now I'm going to be like thinking about it. So anyways, welcome back to the episode, everybody. Today's episode, we talked a little bit about it before the break. We're going to be talking about ways to stick metal together on a trail.
Sounds like a good time. I'm doing a little bit more research over here. I'm not the most verse in welders. Mm-hmm. So I just looked up one. It's an oil link dash arc.
An oil link arc?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I have an old link arc. That's what it is. It's identical to a Premier.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a brand style that we're going to be talking about.
Gotcha. Or, it's a brand.
It's a style of a welder that we're going to be discussing today.
Gotcha. So, I want to preface this topic and say Jimmy and I are not experts on welding by any means. We do not claim to be welders or fabricators. We just have done a little bit of research into some of the different styles of trail welders out there. So we're not going to be talking about something you have in your garage. We're not going to be talking about the benefits of, a Miller 251 versus a Miller 211 or a Lincoln Weld Pack or any ESOB or Eastwood or whatever else is out there. We're not going to be talking about those necessarily. We're going to be talking about some of what are the different styles, the popular styles of welders for these, trail repairs.
Trail welders. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So how do you get yourself off the trail when you snap your frame in half? Or how do you get yourself off the trail when you put a hole in your oil pan, CJ? Or how do you...
or when you break your cross member.
Or when you break your cross member or Jimmy your links. Jet. Or yeah, or crack the ball off of your axle housing, Tyler. How do you get off the trail when shit really goes wrong?
Yeah, when there's a catastrophic failure and you need to really weld something back together to get yourself off of the trail, or possibly just get towed the whole way, so is there a welder that best suits you? What kind of welder might it be? How many different types of welders are there that might work in this realm? We're going to be discussing those sort of topics today, and then you can make your own conclusion to what type of welder that you should carry.
Exactly. Yeah, so our goal is to hopefully inform you guys so that you can make some informed decisions, because there's some really good options on the market right now.
Yeah,
I almost went with two or three different ones, and even just because you have one doesn't mean you should necessarily knock off the others and not get those. Sometimes it's nice to have multiple welder options while you're on the trail.
Absolutely.
So let's talk and start with kind of like the most basic way to do some welding.
Okay. Do you want to, so this is sort of jumping into, basic way to do welding or do this,
That welder type.
Okay. Do you want to should we do a brief overview of like really the four that we know or the four that are out there?
Yeah.
Or do you want to just jump right in?
Let's start with a brief overview of the four that we're going to be kind of covering, and then we'll get into a little bit more of the weeds of kind of the benefits and drawbacks of each one compared to each other.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So the first one up is we kind of have that is like just battery linked together stick welding style.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the next one is kind of the next evolution of that, I guess. And that's sort of a ready welder style, where you're linking a couple batteries together and using a spool gun.
Exactly. I think the next one up kind of from there would be, there's now coming out battery banks, like, lithium ion batteries that, kind of you can use to power, a welder with and they're like in a suitcase and you can just carry the whole system along with you, and it comes with sort of a ready welder style and then it has its own batteries built into the system.
So it's a nice little standalone very portable system. And then the last one we'll be covering is something along the lines of like a Premier power welder style, where you actually have a welding machine kind of built into your vehicle. And we'll be specifically talking about the Premier just because that's the only one I know of on the market. Apparently you just found another one that's an older one,
a link arc.
So those are the four types, that's four styles, four different ones out there. So let's get into
the basics.
Why would you want one of them over the other? What is this one good at? What is this one good at? What is this one not good at?
Yeah, I think, and before we jump into that, sorry to cut you off twice and trying to move forward. I do think that this would be a good spot to say that we're going to be talking about the welders primarily, but you should have all the proper welding equipment with you, goggles, whether it's goggles and, I highly suggest some basic goggles, like things that go over your eyes and don't even cover your face, over like five sunglasses.
Yes.
taping them together, worst case scenario, you can do that stuff. But if you're carrying a welder, carry the accessories to go with it. Some gloves, some welders, probably if you're, doing, flux core, you're going to want the hammer and the chisel, maybe a grinder, there's definitely items that you want to be carrying with you, depending on what welder you have that you're going to want, but always have the eye protection and probably hand protection.
Yeah. That's a great disclaimer.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's go.
Please use proper PPE.
Yeah. You please use your proper PPE.
So,
All right,
the first one, let's start most basic, right?
Most basic.
And that's
jumper cables.
Jumper cables attached to a couple batteries, right? The whole thing with welding is in very, very basic terms, I'm not going to get into the weeds on it. You need to be able to melt metal together. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way to do that, the most efficient way, is to run electricity through the metal and arc it so that you create a lot of heat in a very concentrated spot. So you don't go melting an entire vehicle down. You're just melting two little spots together, right?
Absolutely.
And then from there, it's a matter of putting metal into filler, some kind of filler material metal in there in order to close the gap and connect the two things you're trying to connect that you're heating up. So you can accomplish that essentially by pulling your battery and arcing it, essentially shorting your battery over the metal materials you're trying to do, right? You're trying to put together. You can do it with one battery, but really you want to be running at least two to three batteries optimal in order to do that. And the easiest way to hook up batteries together is with jumper cables, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So, you can hook up some batteries together. The goal would be to hook them up in series. So you're doubling your voltage. You're increasing the voltage of the system. And that just helps you get more power quicker, more wattage quicker into the material to heat up the material more. So you get a better penetration and gluing things together.
Right.
So very simple to do. If you have a couple cars around, a couple vehicles around, which if you're off-roading, hopefully you have at least two vehicles around.
Yeah.
You can pull those two vehicles' batteries, wire them together with jumper cables, and then use one set of jumper cables to wire them together and the other set to do what, Jimmy?
Pretty much what you're going to do is you're going to run the ground to the frame or the body or wherever you want to kind of get it as close to the area you're welding as possible. Let's put it that way. And then if you did bring the grinder with you, you want to clean whatever surface off that you can so that you get the best connection possible in that area as well. And then you're going to have some sort of stick or rod inside of the other jaws of the jumper cable. So you got one connected to the vehicle, and then you have a stick or a rod in the other jumper cable.
Yep.
And then when you touch that rod to the vehicle and near the ground, it'll arc and spark and bang and pop and start melting the metal down.
Yep. And so do you essentially use just the tip of the rod?
I'm not versed on how to.
Sorry, I was making a joke.
I know.
Okay.
I would say, you're not going to use the side.
Yeah.
So I've never stick welded. I'm not sure. I would poke at it with the tip to see if something happened.
Okay, good. Is that one of your rules of life? Anyways.
I played the fifth.
Okay. But yes, essentially, if you're going to take two batteries together and use jumper cables and then essentially, that's stick welding. And the cool thing about stick welding is that the rod that you use is that filler material we were talking about in order to kind of melt these two things together. And so there's different, depending on what you're welding, you need different materials in order to weld properly and get good penetration, get everything to adhere to itself. And so the cool thing about stick welding is that you can carry different rods with you and be able to weld on a lot of different materials surfaces.
Almost any type of material, mm-hmm. you can choose a rod to carry with you, and mm-hmm. you can probably solve that problem. The problem, though, is then you're going to be carrying a whole bunch of metal rods around with you.
Yeah.
You know, which is a good and bad thing if mm-hmm. you ever come across a situation when you need something mm-hmm. custom, like I need to weld a leaf spring back together.
Yeah.
You might have the rod for that. But if you, you know, I would assume that there's a lot of, you know, and I don't know anything about rods, but I would assume if you had a rod that would work for, you know, mild steel, that you could do a lot of applications mm-hmm. with some of those, with a few amount of rods.
Exactly.
There's some rods that are very specific, and there's some that would probably cover a lot of applications.
There is, absolutely. So that's kind of the benefit of it. They don't take up a lot of space. A rod is generally about, I don't know, 12 to 14 inches long, maybe 16 inches long. And somewhere in that range, and they range from 1/8 to 1/4 inch in diameter.
Yeah, or smaller.
They're smaller. So they don't take up a lot of space, and you can carry, you know, 7 or 8 rods mm-hmm. in a little plastic tube, and you're good for a lot of different applications.
Yeah. It's not like they go bad.
Exactly. So. They kind of do over time. the flux in them, if you like leave them for like 10 years or something like that.
Okay. So.
But they just don't like to weld as well. But anyways, so that's kind of that's your first kind of easiest way mm-hmm. to do a big trail repair, is to hook up a couple batteries in series, throw some jumper cables with them to do that, and then carry some rod with you, and there you go.
Definitely.
Definitely practice and know how to stick weld before you try and do that on the trail.
Yeah, or find somebody that has done it or knows how mm-hmm. to do it.
The cool thing about the off-road community is if you carry the supplies and the equipment with you, typically on a lot of trails, you will eventually run into somebody or somebody will come across you that does know how to weld and stick weld. So if you can con them into and bribe them with a couple beer or something, then a lot of times if you have the equipment, they'd be more than happy to use your equipment.
A lot of times people are willing to loan you a hand. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Carrying around just a little jar plastic tube of different rods and some jumper cables mm-hmm. can go a really long way to getting you off the trail.
Yeah. And I like this option too, because it's fairly basic. Like mm-hmm. all you really need to do is find another rig. And if that person has jumper cables and you have jumper cables, and then one of you guys is carrying the proper PEE and, rods, mm-hmm. then you can do this.
Absolutely. Right?
It's like the bare bones, simple way to get into it mm-hmm. and to save the project. Mm-hmm. Or save the trip in one way or another.
Yeah.
The next level up, I think, is, you know, you're carrying a little bit more specific tools. Mm-hmm. You know, this one's definitely, you know, like I have this one thing for this sort of purpose exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Where we're talking about more of a ready welder style, mm-hmm. Where it has a gun, you know, and already has the weld wire in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you still need to connect batteries up to run this, but, you know, it's sort of purpose built.
It's purpose built, and typically it's essentially MIG welding. Mm-hmm. So MIG welding is typically done with a gun, and it's feeding wire through the gun for you.
Yeah.
Whereas like with stick welding, your arc is being generated from your filler material that's coming out, and you're completely in control of the feed, the pressure, the power, everything that you're putting on it. Whereas with MIG welding, you just kind of set the line speed and it kind of goes. All you really have to do is concentrate on your movement.
Right.
MIG welding is typically a little bit easier to pick up and figure out and do. So being able to MIG weld on the trail opens up welding access to a lot more people.
Yes.
Typically with this kind of setup, and this is like a ready welder setup mm-hmm. where you're taking and still connecting batteries, you still got to pull the batteries out of the vehicles and connecting these batteries together. Usually a ready welder, any ready welder style of trail welder will have the leads built into it in order to connect the batteries together and run everything.
And it's more like a spool gun, right?
It is.
On the end. I think I've seen a few of them that are like that. Yeah. So it's a, and you, well, I didn't use it, but my truck, Bobcat, has had it done. Hasselnuts welded it up for me. But yeah, it's like a spool gun with usually, in a lot of cases, it's flux core because you're not, you don't really carry the bottle of gas along with you. And so, yeah, it's in this case.
Fun fact, you can, though.
You could.
They do. There's a lot of kind of ready welder style welders, trail welders. The Bun Welder is another one that's kind of hit the scene recently from our good buddy Chai and Zoo. But they will have a gas inlet hose on the spool gun. So if you carried a little bottle of gas with you, you could hook it up and run gas welding, gas MIG welding on it. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely something you can do, and I don't know if Ready Welder has that application. I haven't dug into it. But it's definitely the easiest entry. I think the simplest one with putting batteries together and stick welding is the most basic and way to weld out of this list. But a Ready Welder style is
the easiest,
that's the one that I think I could do.
Yeah.
Right. You know, cause I can do basic welding, but I don't have any clue about stick welding.
Yeah.
You know, so I could get myself out, I think, with a Ready Welder style setup.
Yeah.
So, you know, but this one is, you know, you need to start carrying now already. You need to purchase a Ready Welder. You need to purchase, you know, some, you know, of the equipment. You know, it probably comes with the proper flux core, but you might need to get more, and, you know, then you need to get a few more things involved with that style.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And it's starting to bump up price now. Whereas before, you're just looking at jumper cables and some rod.
Yeah.
Which you can be up and running for $50.
Yeah.
$50 to $60.
Probably want some good quality jumper cables for that first application.
Yep. The second one, the Ready Welder, those start anywhere from like $300 up to $500-$600. So just kind of depends. The downside, in my opinion, to a Ready Welder style and is not really due to the brand or the style itself. It's due to the MIG process. And that you're kind of limited to mild steel.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to get a really good weld on cast iron.
Yeah.
So if your axles have a cast center section, cast iron center section, it's going to be very difficult to weld stuff to that or repair, or do any repairs to cast
iron. Yeah, absolutely. So, and I think that, I mean, almost any application out there, you're going to have a tough time for a cast unless you're carrying proper rod for it. And you do, for what I do know about cast, is you need to heat that thing up anyway. So it's like, you know, how, you know, unless you're carrying a butane torch with you or something, you know, you've got it. I don't even
build
know
a campfire under your axle.
Campfire under your axle. Yeah. You know, you've got to heat that up anyway. So what I do, you can get aluminum spools.
Yes.
For these guns. And you can swap that out if you could have an aluminum setup and a steel setup. And so you can kind of mix the material that way.
Yeah.
But you're right. You know, there's not, compared to a stick weld, you're limited on what you can weld together with these.
Correct. Which, yeah, that's, I think, the big key part is compared to stick, compared to stick welding. I still think this is a phenomenal option than nothing, nothing, carrying a Ready Welder around. And the cool thing about Ready Welders or the Bun Welder, whatever the style is that because it's MIG, there's even more people out on the trails that know how to do it.
Absolutely.
So if you have it and you don't know how to MIG weld, I'm fairly confident that somebody will come through, especially on a popular-ish trail, that somebody will come through that knows how to MIG weld and can get you squared away.
Absolutely. Yeah. So compared to the first one where we're tying batteries together, you know, you can almost have everything there. You can literally carry that for, you know, like we were saying, $50, you can start carrying that stuff. What I like about the Ready Welder style or the Bun Welder style is that you could go out and purchase it, but it's really easy to transport it to person to person.
It's still very portable.
It's very portable. You know, like, our good buddy Jason from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey mm-hmm. has one, and I've asked to borrow it for a trip, you know, mm-hmm. and he's like, absolutely. Here's this little sort of small suitcase yeah. style thing. And
I took his Ready Welder down to Baja when we went.
Yeah.
Never used it, but so it was cool.
Yeah. You can loan this out. It's really mm-hmm. portable. It's, you know, mm-hmm. you can, it's easy to carry on a rig, and that's another benefit to having this sort of style.
Absolutely. Portability is extremely nice to have when you're off-roading mm-hmm. and having that option available. So, super cool system. And, like I said, anywhere from $300 to $500, gets you in the door and working. The only thing you need to add to it at that point is a couple batteries.
Yeah.
So, and I think if you have a couple vehicles around, you should be able to do that.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a good lead into being the portability and having to add batteries mm-hmm. is a good lead into our next one, which mm-hmm. is sort of a Carnage welder. I don't know if there's any other brands that kind of do this style.
I don't know if there are either.
It's Carnage.
Mm-hmm. And so this is a relatively new one that's come about, God, in the past year, maybe. Like, I didn't see it until just barely a year ago. But I want to say they started in 2019 or 2018. So they're relatively new on the market. And this is a really cool system because it operates very similar in style to a Ready Welder or a Bun Welder, mm-hmm. except it provides the batteries for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. It sets up some lithium ion batteries into a 24 volt system in a Pelican case.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Pretty much.
And yeah. it's got all the batteries are kind of housed behind a main board. And all you have to do is kind of the board, you plug in your leads and what you're doing, turn it on, turn on your feed, kind of turn on the power and, go to town. And it's all self-contained in a Pelican case.
Yeah. And what's cool about these two is that you can hook it up to charge the device. Mm-hmm. You can hook it up to your cigarette lighter, probably to mm-hmm. the battery mm-hmm. and, to your house outlet.
Yep.
Right. So a 110. Mm-hmm. So you can, there's many different ways to charge this thing. So mm-hmm. whether you, you know, like let's say you were out welding mm-hmm. and, you know, out on the trail and it ran out, well, then you could hook it up to a battery to charge it up again mm-hmm. and bring the charge back up. And I don't know, but you could probably run through the batteries through the charger.
Probably. Yeah. I would assume so. It depends yeah. on how much amperage your charger provides. Mm-hmm. But you can also hook it up to solar.
Can you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay.
Because it's a DC charge. So if it can hook up to a 12 volt DC system, like your yeah. car battery, your car charging system, then you can hook it up to a solar charger controller. It'll take longer.
You couldn't run it off of that.
You couldn't run it off yeah. of it, no. But it's really neat because it's all self-contained.
Yes.
And the cool thing about it, it does run a spool gun by default, mm-hmm. but I think you can swap out the leads. I could be wrong on this. I could very well be wrong. I need to do some research on it, but I think you can swap out the leads and run a stick welder off of it instead. Oh. I very well could be wrong. Don't take my word on that one, but, The cool thing about it is that it is extremely portable and it's all built in one system. And the battery packs provide 20 constant minutes of welding.
Wow. That's a lot.
That is a lot. And if you think about it, it doesn't sound like a whole lot. You know, if you think about a trail repair and how much, you know, time goes into fixing a vehicle on the trail, 20 minutes does not sound like a lot of time. But if you're thinking about welding nonstop for 20
welding
minutes,
time, how long do you actually weld?
Right? Exactly. That's a pretty damn good amount of time. Mm-hmm. If you need more than 20 minutes of weld time to fix something, you got some really big problems.
Yeah. Or you need to figure out how to do better prep.
Yeah. Better prep or you need to educate yourself and get uh-huh. a little more practice before you go in.
You know, another thing about this thing, I bet you could run some tools off of the case.
Oh, you think so?
I would assume so.
I wonder if it has a power output.
I don't know, but it has power in. So I wonder if it has a power out.
I don't know. If it has a power out, then yeah, DC power out, you can run whatever stuff, as long as you're not exceeding the draw, which the draw should be a shit ton because it's welding.
I wonder if you can. That would be interesting to know. We do have a buddy of ours has one of these, and so and did bring it to our attention of of it. And so the Carnage runner welder runs around $950.
Okay. So that's another step up there in price, almost
another
double.
Step up. But what's nice about this is now you don't have to rip out your batteries. You, you know, not going to be draining your batteries. You might not need to, you know, pull out your battery, drain the battery, then get somebody else to jump your battery. So then you can start running your vehicle down the trail. You know, this is self-contained altogether, you know, in a small Pelican case that you can just hand off to a buddy that's portable and self, like, I really like the self-contained aspect of this, that it's all there and easy to use.
100%. I am, you know, the ready welders and, you know, sticking batteries together, it works and it works just fine.
Yeah.
I'm lazy though. And I don't want to pull batteries out of cars. It's just a lot of excess time. It's a lot of excess effort, a lot of excess energy. Like you said, all the things that go with pulling your battery and using and draining your battery. Absolutely. I can't, I gotta have music while I'm welding, man. I gotta have my ham radios continually working while I'm welding. Right. So having this,
you got two batteries, so you're good.
Right. So the, having this, being able to have it completely be self-contained, disconnected from the vehicle. You don't have to put in the time, the effort to pull the batteries, carry and lug them over somewhere. And it doesn't weigh that much because it's lithium ions. Yeah. It doesn't even weigh as much as one car battery, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty, pretty ridiculously light for what it is.
For what it is, absolutely. Yeah. So this kind of, well, we'll get back into it. I had heard about the Carnage welder after I had already purchased my Premier.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. If I had heard about the Carnage and seen it in person before I purchased my Premier, I think I might have bought the Carnage welder.
Right.
It's a really, really cool system.
It is a cool setup. Yeah. The question is it worth almost double the amount so you can save yourself from pulling a battery out?
For me, it would be.
And if you're solo wheeling too, but you know, that's a different story entirely.
It is.
Yeah. I think that, you know,
do as I say, not as I do.
Right. You know, the thing is, it's, I mean, I really like this thing. It's a cool, cool setup. It's a, it's, you know, simple. It's already straightforward. It's easy to use. You know, it's, everything's there. And as long as you remember to charge it or check if it's charged, you're good. Right.
Yeah.
You know, but is it really worth double a ready welder, bun welder style thing?
That's a good question. I think to me, that would depend on whether it can also stick weld. If you can do multi-process with it and do stick welding as well as a spool gun, 100% it would be worth it.
Yeah.
But I wonder, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. And I would, you could probably, I don't know enough about welding and I'm going to speak out of my rear end right now, but I'm assuming you could probably change the ends fairly easily to make some sort of gator clip style stick welding options. But do you really want to cut this thing up to do that? I don't know. You could do whatever you want. But, yeah, no, it's a cool setup. And I know that you can run multiple spools, like we talked about the ready welder. So now you can slap on an aluminum one or a flux core one.
It comes if you need with really thin wire versus really thick wire.
Yeah, it comes with 030 flux, but you can change that up when you're purchasing it. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah. So it's a really cool system. I'm a big fan of the Carnage welder so far.
Yeah.
And I still might end up getting one just so I have one, because if I end up with the Bronco as well, then I'm going to need something that I can use on the Bronco. Maybe I'll set up another Premier on it as well, but I think I'd rather have a Premier in one vehicle and a Carnage that I can swap between vehicles wherever I'm going, kind of thing. So, that's the Carnage.
Yeah, that's cool. And that moves us on to Premier.
Takes us on to Premier, and a Premier style. And this is literally, it's a built-in welder for your vehicle. They set you up with not just the welder, but also an alternator to run everything off of.
Why do you need another alternator?
Because this one is specifically set up for high-frequency alternator rather than RPMs necessarily. It does kind of a combination of both, right? So you don't get all of your, it's just different type of electrical generation. So you get a 165 amp alternator with your system, or you can get the 200 amp alternator, I believe. There's two different options.
Okay.
But what's interesting about this is that in order to run the Premier, you have to have the alternator. But you cannot buy an alternator by itself and then upgrade to the Premier later on, I don't think. Because there are a couple of control wires built into the alternator that's set up so that the power from the alternator is going into and reads off of the box. So the alternator and the box kind of work in conjunction with each other.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you can't like go in piecemeal and say, I'll just buy the alternator now and then I'll buy the box later or vice versa.
That's weird. I can understand they don't want you buying an off-the-shelf alternator and then trying to use their system, but I don't know why you can buy, as long as the wire connections and wire things are set up similar.
That's
the same.
I would think too, but I've asked a few different people now, and everybody I've talked to has said you cannot use one of their alternators standalone in a system without the welder. So, because the welder has the regulator on it.
Yeah.
To regulate the power to the rest of the vehicle.
Can you buy one of their welders just so you have a good output alternator?
You can actually, I mean, you could. You can actually buy a bypass regulator. And so you can buy the regulator on its own, essentially, without the welding box. And the bypass regulator is like $60, $65. Oh, wow. Bucks. So you could get their alternator and a bypass regulator.
Yeah.
And then buy the welding box later on.
Okay.
So you could do it that way for an extra $60. And then you have a spare bypass regulator around, which is really nice to have. But the way this thing works is the process of a Premier, the welding process, is mainly stick welding. So again, now we're back to being able to weld on multiple things as long as you have the rod with you, carrying the rod with you. The really cool thing that sold me on the Premier is that it also comes with a 2300 watt inverter for AC power built into it.
Okay.
So you can carry a corded grinder. You can carry a corded drill with you. You can carry those things and have 2,000 watts of AC power available.
That's a lot.
To you to run corded powers. If you wanted to, you can carry corded Sawzall.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things that you could carry with you. Now, granted, battery technology has gotten so good nowadays that, you know, 18 volt Milwaukee system or an 18 volt DeWalt or whatever else you're running, 20 volt Milwaukee, 20 volt, whatever, tool system, is awesome for the trails.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily need to have that, corded grinder. The only benefit to having corded grinder is that they're cheaper than the battery system set up. So,
but you could have a blender for margaritas.
Absolutely. So anything you want to run that's AC, you can run a charger off of there. You can run CPAPs off of it. There's a lot of different things you can now have access to because you have a 2000 watt inverter built into your rig. So the other nice thing about it is they have leads that you can also run for spool guns and run MIG off of it if you didn't want to run stick welding.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So it's all kind of built in, contained to your vehicle. It'll pump out the most amount of power, typically. What's interesting about it is that it runs off of your batteries. It runs directly off of its alternator. That's what it is. So when you turn on the welding machine, your vehicle is no longer connected to your alternator.
Oh.
So your vehicle is only running off of the batteries.
Interesting. Okay.
Of your vehicle, and the welder runs directly off of the alternator.
Okay.
And so that's
why it separates those.
It separates those. And so in order to then, you know, bump up your power, you have to run the engine a little higher RPMs. So you have to be able to have a way to control the engine throttle as well. But it's a really nice system that you can do a lot of different processes on, a lot of different types of welding, very similar to, you know, sticking two batteries together, except you no longer have to pull batteries out of your vehicle. You now also have a hookup to run AC power off of it. It's all kind of standalone and built into your vehicle. It's almost like the difference between carrying, I would equate and kind of, trivialize is not the right word. I would compare, a Premier and Carnage to having like a power tank and a twin ARB built into your rig. It's like a power tank you can carry around, fully self-contained. Take it over to other people's vehicles, whatever, you can carry it around, versus a twin ARB onboard air system built into your vehicle. It's all very nice and handy. It's there. It's built in. You don't have to mess around with it at all. Mm-hmm. But the big downside to Premieres is that you have to be able to get your vehicle to the other vehicle.
Yep.
That's the big downside. It is not very portable, at least compared to, you know, pulling two batteries and be able to set up a welding station wherever you need to set up a welding station at, or carrying this little Pelican case over to wherever you need to do welding at.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say like a cooler and a fridge.
So anyway, that's kind of like the difference, in my opinion, between the Premier and the Carnage.
Yeah.
I was just going to say the Premier is a little bit more universal.
Yeah.
But the Carnage is way more portable.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. What is the barrier of entry for Premier?
It's pricey. I think with the 165 amp alternator and the welding box, and that comes with everything you need to set it up. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's like $1,300, $1,400.
Yeah.
So another $500 more than a Carnage welder.
Right. So, yeah. So what would be really interesting is, and maybe we should have done a little bit of due diligence, is figuring out if the Carnage can actually do stick.
That would be a really good question. Because if it can do stick,
and we'll probably have the answer for you by next episode. I'm sure the significant person that we're both thinking of has that answer.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure a quick Google search would tell us too.
Yeah.
So we'll have to get Beer Andy on that. Thank you, buddy. And if you get a Carnage welder, you now have an extra $500 to spend on a battery tool system.
What do you mean by that?
So you can get a battery powered grinder.
Oh, yeah.
So that way you can clean stuff up and prep stuff.
Got it. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's the benefit of the Premier is that's built in, right? So you don't need that. You just need, if you have a grinder at home, which if you're buying a trail welder, you probably have a grinder at home. Yeah. You just throw that in the rig for your trip and you don't really have to buy another grinder. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you buy a Carnage or a Ready welder or a Bun welder or something, you now have a little bit extra money to spend on battery powered tools.
Yep. Or which just carry files with you and sit there for that evening.
Yeah, files and 60 grit sandpaper, a lot of it.
That would suck.
Yeah,
I've done that.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, when we broke the cross member, when Bobcat's cross member broke.
Gotcha.
I don't think anybody had a grinder, but I had a big old file.
Yeah.
In my toolbox. And so Hustle Nuts and I sat there filing away for a few hours.
Wow.
Sitting by the fire talking, just.
Did you pull the cross member off and then do that? Or okay.
Yeah. We ratchet strapped the T cases up. I can't remember. We might have like put something underneath it too. It's been a while since we did it. And then we took the whole cross member out.
Gotcha.
And then spent that evening filing it down, and I think the next morning, I can't recall, but I think the next morning we welded it up.
Okay.
And then installed it again.
Mm-hmm. Nice. That would be, I think that's
a pretty good overview.
Yeah.
And that's, and hopefully this gets you guys thinking about if you do want a welder, what style are you going to go with? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that it did for me is I was like, well, maybe I should just buy some rod and like those little goggles and throw them in a bin, because in worst case scenario, we can start doing some basic stick welding together. Mm-hmm. If I'm not wheeling with you, or I'm not wheeling with Hustle Nuts, or I'm not wheeling with Jason, this way, I can try and find somebody that knows how to stick, or, just glob it on myself or something. Yeah, I don't know.
See how it works.
Yeah, see how it works. But at minimum, I think that's a setup that almost everybody can carry for basics.
Absolutely. Yeah, just take your...
Because I already carry jumper cables.
Yeah.
And I carry one of those Norco boxes.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you have those two things to restart your batteries afterwards, jump them and kind of recharge them. And you just, all you really need is a little tube of six rods and you should be good to go. The important thing is keeping the rods dry.
Yes.
Don't let them get wet. They do not work when they get wet and moisture on them.
Yeah. So. I wonder if building like a little PVC thing to keep them enclosed in would be good.
Yeah, a little PVC tube. A lot of welding supply stores sell waterproof tubes specifically designed to carry rod around in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, carry one of those with you. Just throw it in a bag, throw it in, you know, a back cubby in your rig somewhere, and some jumper cables. And Yes Welder has those little welding goggles.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's funny because they're going to protect your eyes. They'll do a good job at protecting your eyes, but then your whole face is going to get sunburned from welding, but it'll get you off the trail and it's very basic PPE. So
but you'll still have your eyes, but you'll be sunburned.
Yes.
Which I think that's a big yes. If you carry another face shield one around, that's fine. That's great. Bonus points, but protect your eyes.
Yeah.
And I think we should say again, please carry all proper welding supplies, welding gear that you need.
Safety equipment
for if you are going to be welding. If you're carrying the welding rod with you, you should at minimum carry some goggles and gloves. I would say, because if you're carrying the welding stuff, the person that's coming up the trail that knows how to do the welding might not be carrying any welding gear with them.
Yeah, true.
So I'm curious to know if you guys carry a welder, what do you carry? Why did you choose that welder over some of these other options? If you don't have a welder, which one do you think you want to get? I know which one I want to get. So write us in. You can write in to us, Jimmy or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com. You can find Tyler at Instagram over on Instagram at 4x4 Toyota Tyler. I'm at Snail Trail 4x4. I think that's all I got.
Cool. That's all I got too. I really want to know. I love picking people's brains, right? And hearing what their decision-making process is for whatever they're doing. So I would love to hear why other people out there chose the welders they chose, or why you're looking at the one you're looking at because of whatever reason. So write us in and let us know. We'd love hearing from you guys. So with that, any final words for everybody, Mr. Jim?
Dingleberries.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
I'm ready, bro.
I'm not quite sure if this is how it goes entirely, but we're going to go with it here.
Okay.
Why did the bike fall over?
Because it didn't have a stand?
Because it was too tired.
Oh. What does a female snake use for support?
It slithers.
A cobra.
I don't get it.
A cobra.
A cobra.
Yeah.
Okay.
A cobra?
I get it.
Come on.
This is my section.
Sorry. Sorry to impose.
I still want to get onto Wheeling Wine and Whiskey and do like bad jokes.
I think you guys totally should just go back and forth.